Hallelujah. There's five things I want to share with you today. The characteristics of an overcomer. Now, I don't know for the sake of time how many of these points we're going to get into, but I'll try my best. Number one is overcomers walk in faith, authority, and power. Let me say this again. Overcomers, people like yourselves, that you walk in faith, authority, and power. Luke 18:8, Jesus asked this question, when I return, will I find faith in the earth? 1 Timothy 6:12 reminds us that we are to fight the good fight of faith. In other words, in the Greek, it even speaks of that, of fighting with an adversary. It speaks of fierce combat with an adversary. We are naive when we think that the devil is just going to stand back and just watch us succeed in life. No, he's going to try and come at you the same way that he came to Jesus. And often he even comes twisting the word, as he did in the garden. Did God really say? Because just prior to that, you had a revelation and you released a declaration into the heavenly places, where you made it known that this is what I believe and this is what I'm going to do. Only a few days later, or maybe even a few hours later, the devil comes and he says to you, what did God really say? Or the devil might even come and say, you know what? The word of the Lord, or does the word of the Lord not say this and this and this and this? The same way he came to Jesus and came at Jesus. But Jesus responded every time, knowing that the devil is a deceiver, he's a liar, he's a trickster, saying, responding every time, it is written. There are two scriptures I want you to really highlight. I want you to make a note of these scriptures because it's powerful. And if you will heed to the revelation contained in these scriptures, I'm telling you, nothing will be impossible to you. That you will truly live a life as an overcomer when these two scriptures become a revelation to you. The first one is Luke 10:19. The second one is Matthew 10:1. So Luke 10:19, Matthew 10:1. Luke 10:19 in the Passion Translation, it says this. Now you understand that I have, not I will, I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over the devil's kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Did you get that? Come on, so with that scripture alone already, that has become a revelation to you, that's burning on the inside of you, what is still impossible?
Well, the devil is out there to get me.
Who cares? Greater is he that is in you than the one who's in this world. For indeed God has prepared a table for you in the midst of your enemy. All the enemy can do is stand in the background and look with envy as to the feast and the power and the authority that you have been given as a child of God. If that is your portion and you know that to be true, come on, take the next 10 seconds and give God praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. It goes on to say, but wait, there's more. It gets even better. For it says, absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in his authority. Absolutely nothing. Jesus could have just said nothing. But he made sure we understood that absolutely nothing will be able to harm you. The devil can't even scratch you. When the devil comes at you, you laugh in his face, and he will flee from you in stark terror. There is a story of Smith Wigglesworth, who was sleeping. He woke up to find the devil himself in his room. The story goes, as he looked upon the devil, he said, "Oh, it's just you." And then turned around and went back to sleep. Come on, this is the kind of life that we are talking about, that believers should possess, knowing who they are in Christ, understanding the authority and the power that is bursting and burning from within. Come on, once again, if you are of those who have the authority and the power and you're not afraid to walk in it, let your shout be the loudest in Jesus' name. The devil is a liar. And I do not expect to get a call from any one of you ever again. The devil himself is in my room. Pastor, I need you to come and pray right now. No, you take authority. How can grown men be afraid of the devil? You're supposed to be the prophet, king, and priest of your home. If the devil has come at you or come at your home, come on, the gloves are off. What are you going to do? Sit back and watch the devil touch your child, touch your wife, touch your property or your possessions? Because it is unbiblical for the devil to do that. And once the devil, even if the devil tries that and does that, this is where, I mean, the fact that he has touched your child or touched your wife or whatever, it's an act of war. It is an act of war. If you consider the rules of engagement, the moment the devil oversteps that line, you say, "Devil, you're going to get a whipping today. But make sure you know who you are in Christ Jesus." Because if you respond to a devil, even a demon, and you are not certain of your position in Christ, your identity in Christ, I'm telling you, the devil is going to look at you and say, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Pastor Kevin, I know. Who are you?" Understand who you are in Christ. I recently had a situation where I was literally confronting a demon head on, like right there. You can ask Jade what happened. I looked at this demon and he was like bent over like this. It looked like what you would find in a horror movie. I could actually not even understand how his back could be contorted so far back without actually snapping his spine. And I just looked at him. I stood in front of him looking at him like this. Almost a little smirk on my face. Because the devil tried everything. And then eventually I just looked at him and said to him, "I'm not intimidated. You cannot intimidate me. Because I know who I am. I know the power that's within." And so with one move, one word, I saw that demon manifest. It was like a bulge right there. Some of you say you don't believe in demons. I'm telling you, if you were there, you would have run. Because you can see the manifestation. You can see that right under the skin, there's this bulge. You can ask Jade. He was there. Niall was there as well. And as we delivered it, cast it out. Again, you don't counsel a demon. You tell it to go. You tell it to pack its bags and to go to the very pit of hell, because that's where it's come from. And as we did so, all of a sudden, you could see, poof, that bulge, that big bulge he had on his chest, it went, it left, flat, and he calmed down. And afterward, he said, "You know, everything just feels different. And that's the way it's supposed to be." Know who you are in Christ. Know that when the devil attacks, or if he attacks, I should rather say that, if he attacks, you take up the authority that Jesus has already given you. You exercise that authority and you see the power of God go to work in Jesus' name. Matthew 10 verse 1. He gave them power to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Not some kinds. Not when it, oh, when it comes to this, sorry. All kinds of sickness. All kinds of disease. We're ruffling some religious feathers here today. There's some people making notes. But everything we say, this is why I teach from the word of the Lord. This is not the opinion of man. This is why I give you so many scriptures. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, why are you giving so many scriptures? It's because I do not want you to stand on my words. I want you to stand on the word of God. So what is authority? What is power? The word for power is the Greek word dunamis, which if it is translated and defined in English, it would mean the explosive power of God released to change the physical reality. It is the explosive power of God that is released with the sole intention to change your physical reality. What is authority then? Authority in Greek is the word exousia. It means this in English, the power of rule of government that demands submission. This is why the devil is not over your head. You are not subject to what the devil wills in your life. You are subject to the will of God. You are subject to the word of God. And this is why the devil is not over your head. The devil is underneath your feet. And that's where he belongs. So what is power? What is authority? If you're making notes, power produces miracles and healings. It is power that caused the bread and the fish that Jesus held in his hands and after he had given thanks were multiplied. Authority then is what you carry, causing demons to squirm in your presence. You see, if it is that you are clothed with power and authority, the devil understands. The devil just looks at you and understands, recognizes the authority and the power that you carry. So this is when also the opposite is also true. That when you walk into a room, there should be a shift in the atmosphere. Now, yes, I must say this, a disclaimer. There are certain atmospheres that obviously is not conducive for signs, wonders, and miracles. An atmosphere of unbelief, which we find where Jesus had to take a man out of the borders of the city in order for him to be healed. And after he had received his healing, Jesus said, do not, when you go back home, go through the city again. And why? That was because of the atmosphere of unbelief. However, when you get into a situation, you have been clothed with authority and power, and you have the ability to stir and shift the atmosphere. So power then versus authority comes down to this. Power affects the visible realm, but authority affects both the visible and the invisible realm. You see, ancient kings conquered through power, but they ruled by means of authority. But Jesus came and introduced us to what is referred to as a royal priesthood. We are priests who are also kings after the order of Melchizedek. This speaks of the fact then that we have both power and authority. Number two. And we'll only get halfway, it seems, today. Number two, overcomers are not on the defense, but we are in fact on the offense. In Matthew 16, from verse 13 in the New King James, it said, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said to them, but who do you say that I am. Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church," which speaks of the revelation. Peter didn't become the Pope as a result of that which Jesus spoke. The church is not built on man. The church is not built on the foundation of man. The church is built on the revelation of Jesus Christ being the Son of the living God. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Verse 19, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Listen to this. In the Passion Translation, it says, "And this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I build my church, my legislative assembly." You see, the Greek word for church is the word ekklesia. And it means legislative assembly or selected, called out ones. What is interesting about this term is that this is a term that already existed before Jesus founded his church. In essence, you could say that Jesus borrowed from a word that was already known. This is not a religious term at all, the word church. It is rather a political and governmental term that is used many times in classical Greek for a group of people who have been summoned and who get together pertaining to matters in society. You see, this is what Jesus willed for us to be as a church, that we are God's legislative authority upon the earth. He has given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatsoever we loose on earth is loose in heaven. God hasn't given that authority to any earthly establishment. He has only given absolute authority and power to His church. And come on, this is the time, this is the hour for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to arise and to say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." If you believe that with me, take the next 10 seconds and give Him praise. You see, there's many who say, "Well, the church is just a hospital. The church is a hospital. It's just a place where all the sick people can come and stay, and we can all just look at each other and feel pity for each other because of the different sickness we have." Well, how many of you know we all sin? How many of you know we've all missed God? How many of you know that we're all actually spiritually sick? Everyone has got their sickness. Everyone has got their sin. No, 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 no. The way I see the church is not as a hospital. The way I see the church is that the church is a military barracks. Yes, there is a hospital wing, but this is why ultimately it's about preparing for war. It is about preparing to go out into the world, to be the salt, to be the light, to be a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. For we have been called, we have been anointed, we have been appointed for this hour to let our light so shine into the world, to be the influencer in this world, to bring about change in our lives, change in our family, change in our business, change in the church, change in the political sphere, change in government, change in media, change in every single sphere of society. And ultimately, once again, I say unto you that once that happens, South Africa and Africa shall be saved. It says, "And the power of death will not be able to overpower it." The world and the devil has no ability to overpower the church. The world and the devil do not have the authority to overcome Christians. But we, in fact, have received all absolute authority and power from Christ, who is still the head of His church. That He said and gave us the right to occupy the gates of our enemy, to storm the very gates of hell, to plunder hell and to populate heaven. I pray that this will become a revelation to you, knowing that no wicked thing will touch you or harm you, though 1,000 fall at your side or 10,000 at your right hand. Nothing and no one will be able to touch you all the days of your life, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you. We'll see you again next week.